Episode number 166, Live Cash. Welcome to the Heads Up Poker Podcast. This is Steve Barton, and thank you for tuning in. This week, I have a hand for you from a 1-3 no-limit cash game. I played this in Las Vegas. In my mind, I just got off the phone with Mikey, and in my mind, this is probably one of the best places to play for poker. He disagreed, but I don't know. When there's a conference or some kind of NBA All-Stars or something going on, the Super Bowl, I find that Vegas is the place to be. Okay, so we sit down at a table. It's a 1-3. We've been playing for about 20, 30 minutes. And the average stack at the table is about 300. One guy came in. I pretty much had the table to myself. It really was quite awesome. There was three guys that sat down to begin with that had the conference badges with their name on them still around their neck, kind of like the scene in Rounders. And the rest of the table was just as bad. Unfortunately, about 20 minutes later, I get two pros that sit on either side of me. One guy buys in for 600, another girl comes and sits down to my left, and she was a little bit loose, I found out later, but my initial thought at this time was that she was a pro, because she had about $1,200 in black $100 chips in her purse. She pulled out three, bought in, and then instantly went to her phone and started making auto decisions. So anyways, that's where this hand comes from. The rest of the table is loose passive calling stations, so it's quite nice. So the other seven players are loose passive calling stations. Then there's the three of us that are all on one end of the table. Okay, so we've been playing a pretty tight game, and basically just betting value hands, getting called down the second pair, things like that. We have a stack of 310. We bought in for 300. And we get 5-5. We're in the hijack. So, what to do here? Can we raise and take it down, or do we want to limp here and try to see a flop for 1/100th of our stack and see a flop? I could go either way here. We got the one pro to my left. The rest are calling stations. I think if you raise here, you know, just make it whatever the standard raise is, you know, 10 or 12 or 13 or whatever you do. And then you could play this as a value hand against some calling stations. I think with calling stations, you know, you raise here, you're probably going to get called on average maybe twice by two people, and I don't know, I kind of like just taking a little variance route, limp. It's unlikely that anyone's behind you is going to raise. Maybe the pro will, but you can easily call a raise and then still set mine. So I elected to call. Folds around to the small blind and the big blind, who both call. They are two of the three conference guys. They were there for some convention. I think it was a real estate convention at the time. So they had their badges still on, and the first thing they did when they sat down was ordered a beer. So I'm sure that's a pretty, they're both in their mid-40s. It's probably a pretty good idea of what the type of player that we're playing against. They're both white. They both call. All right, so their ranges are extremely wide from what I've seen them play, is, you know, things like Jack 4 suited from early position. I mean, they could really have anything here except, I believe, a nutted hand. I don't think they have any nutted hands because there was no decision time on their point. The small blind just flicked in two chips, and the big blind quickly checked. I think if they're nutted there, it's going to be like described in Mike Carroll or Zach Elwood's. They're gonna take their time. There's a decision, you know, and they didn't have that. So I think they pretty much have just about any two, except for the complete trash. All right, so with $9 in the pot, and we have pocket fives, five, five, I wrote 5-5-0. I don't know why I would write 5-5-0. If you got pocket fives in there, something's wrong with the game. We got pocket fives. Flop is ace of clubs, king of clubs, five of clubs. Okay? So we flop bottom set on a three flush board. Small blind checks. Big blind bets $12. So what to do here? Okay, we're obviously beat by any flush, right? Any two clubs has us crushed, and we're then drawing to 10 outs. And neither one of them, I'm putting neither of them on kings or aces or ace king. All right, so I think we've got this smashed unless one of them has a flush. So do we call or do we raise? I think oftentimes, recreational players may elect to just call here, and they're afraid of the flush. I think most times here, if we raise, and if we get re-raised at that point by the small blind or the big blind, I think we can pretty safely fold our hand. A lot of amateurs there, I believe, are going to be uncomfortable putting their stack in with three clubs out there when anyone can see that you can have a flush. So if they raise here, I would more often than not give them credit for it. These two guys, the way they've been playing, I would think that one of them has a flush there, and then at that point we're a pretty big dog and we can fold. So I elected for a raise. So big blind bet $12. I made it 30. One, because I believe we have the best hand and we want to get some more money in the pot. Last thing we want to see is another club. Then our hand is pretty much useless. So we'll get value from things like if someone has a lone club, if someone has an ace, they could definitely have an ace. They could definitely have a king, but they can't have ace king. They can't have kings and they can't have aces as far as I'm playing this hand. Maybe there is an amateur with a conference badge that can quickly call as and check as fast as they did with those hands, but I've yet to see it. So I'm taking those completely out. So I like to for a raise to 30. Small blind calls 30, and then the big blind calls 30. Okay, so we didn't get a re-raise there. We can feel pretty comfortable with our hand, I believe. And we go to the turn. We've got $99 in the pot. And with pocket fives on a board of ace of clubs, king of clubs, five of clubs, we get a turn of the king of diamonds. So we fill up. All right. And which is a pretty good card on our accounts. King five is a possibility, but that's extremely unlikely. Those would have to be the last two cards in the deck. Small blind bets 30. So he leads out for 30 into a $100 pot. I don't believe these players are stack size aware, so look more at the bet and less at the size. Big blind raises to 130. Now, this is an interesting raise because here he takes the 30 as if he's going to call, and then he grabs another stack from behind and pulls it out. A stack of 100, you know, 20 each. He's got about 250 in front of him. I'm sorry. I should have gone over stack sizes. We have a stack of 310. The small blind has 400 and the big blind has 250. So he raises it to 130. And the way he did it, it looked like he knew he was going to raise all along as soon as the turn hit. He liked it. So what do we do here? Do we just call or do we move all in? We've got 277 behind. We got the small blind has us covered. We have the big blind covered. I elected for a shove here. I thought that since the small blind, called my re-raise on the flop and then he let out on the turn, I believe that there was a possibility that he already had the flush or that he's got like the queen of clubs and maybe a king three of a kind. I thought that either way, we can never fold this. He might have an ace and try to hero call here. I don't think so. I think an amateur is definitely folding a lone ace there unless they've got, well, he wouldn't have ace queen. There was no thought when he called. But anyways, we go for the shove. Small blind quickly calls, and the big blind quickly calls. So they flip over. The small blind had queen eight of clubs, so he flopped the nut flush. He did not raise on the flop, which we're grateful for now because we were able to fill up and then get a stack. And the big blind had king three off suit, so he had three of a kind there. I think if anyone's to be faulted for this, it would definitely be the big blind. I don't like his lead on the flop, but then calling the re-raise. I just don't see how you're ever good on that board. Anyways, the river was a blank. You know what? No, actually, it was a five. I wrote blank, but I'm remembering now as I'm visualizing it was a five. So I ended up getting quads. But basically, it was not another king or another ace, so we won. But that's it for this week. Be sure to check out the website, headsuppoker.poker. Support us. Join TPE or get your free Elliott Rowe 7-minute tilt buster. You can do that under the Support Us tab and bookmark us on Amazon. All the proceeds from this show I donate at the end of the year, which is coming up here in May, to a scholarship. Thank you for tuning in, and here is your weekly motivational speech.
You've lost again and again and again. The lights are cut off, but you're still looking at your dream, reviewing it every day, and say to yourself, it's not over until I win.
If you want to make your dream become reality, the people that are running at their dreams know that it's possible that you can live your dream. That it's necessary, that you're relentless, that you have a plan of action, that you are creative. The people that are living their dream are finding winners to attach themselves to. The people that are living their dreams are the people that know that it's, if it's going to happen, it's up to them. And they're resolving within themselves, it's not over until I win.
Listen to me very closely. Winners win and losers lose. And there are those of you out there, you lose it and you don't deserve to lose. You put in the work, you worked hard and you lose it. And I need you to do me a favor. This is the year to turn that around.
The people that are running after their dream know they're going to have hard times. They keep on running because they're saying within themselves, I'm the one. I'm the one. No matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it. The people that are running after their dreams are the people that are hungry.